Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. Joey Chestnut, yes, the Joey Chestnut,
Jaws,
joins the gang to talk some eating. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, cuz they're free. So 234 coming hot at you guys, and so did the draft game. And I'm joined on the show today by Alex Tossing the Rock and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And we have an amazing show. We have Joey Chestnut. I mean, a guy that, if you had to ask me top 50 people, we were supposed to make lists, the three of us, and put like a top 50, just like us to have, like, personally. And he probably would have been in my top 50 just because I had so many questions, and I'm glad I got to ask him today.
Yeah, and you're one that loves competing and eating challenges.
That's true.
As we know very well.
Which you guys got to throw in my face a little bit, which was nice. That was the toss. Was like, yeah, we can interview him. We jokingly said we can interview him as long as we get to bring up the McDonald's challenge. And I said, if that's what it takes, then obviously bring it up as much as you want. but before we get into it, we do have a quick message from our sponsor, Toss.
Yeah, Bet Online. You know, we'll talk a little bit with Joey about it as he's competing in the Bet Online Quarantine Challenge.
A bracket.
Yeah, it's a bracket. He's in the first, he's in the second round.
Yeah,
to yesterday, see them, before we interviewed him.
To see them, they did a bologna challenge. So you had to eat 2 pounds of bologna, and what place you came in is what seed you were. So he was the second seed. Round one, it's out of 8 people. So round one, he'll discuss it, is 48 Oreos.
Oreos with a half gallon of milk, which he competed in after he got off the phone with us.
Pretty much right after, which is crazy. He just went in to do that. And
so there's other rounds, obviously. So you'll be able to, if you go to Bet Online, you can, you know, that you can bet on that.
Yeah.
Right. There's they have their own online casino, poker, blackjack, esports, American Idol, basically anything that's not the sports that we are used to, you can bet on it. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's still fun to be had. So go to betonline.ag, use the promo code MYPOD100 to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag, and use the promo code MYPOD100. Go to BetOnline and rip as much money as possible on Joey Chestnut, because he's gonna win.
Yeah,
he's gonna win. He's gonna win the entire. I mean, he was a favorite. He was favored.
He's the most competitive person I've talked to. One of the most competitive people I've ever talked to in my life.
I think, you know, it's just, and I can't imagine being that competitive about that, you know, kind of basketball or football. That kind of resonates more with me because I'm used to seeing guys be competitive about that. Mm-hmm. But you could just kind of hear the competitiveness in his voice.
Yeah. And so let's.
He's a true competitor. So without further ado, let's rip it. Here is the show. All right, guys, you heard it in the introduction. We have the Joey Chestnut on the line with us. Joey, how you doing today, man?
Doing pretty good. Getting excited.
Getting excited. You're gearing up. We're recording on Sunday. You're gearing up to take down, 48 Oreos and half a gallon of milk right now for Bet Online, the BetOnline.ag tournament?
Yeah, it's the quarantine challenge. This is going to be the first elimination round, so Yeah, this is the one where I have to win in order to get to the next round, and it's a new food for me to eat in contest. It's a food that I'm familiar with, but I've just never eaten it fast, so I'm going to have to just eat it in a way I've never eaten before and just push it.
So this is the first time you're doing like any kind of Oreo challenge?
Yeah, I've never it's one of those foods that I did a little practice for it, and it was really hard to eat it fast because it's been so ingrained in me to eat it slow. I don't think I've ever eaten Oreos standing up. Right, usually it's always on a sofa.
Yeah,
and it's splitting them and taking my sweet time.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's right. Well, we gotta ask, how do you eat your Oreos? Because everybody has a different tactic, right?
When you're normally eating.
Yeah. Normally eating.
Yeah, and even this one, we're not allowed to split them. We're not allowed to crunch them. We're not allowed to dunk them. You got to chew, and swallow, and you can drink the milk. So because there's no judges like on hand. All the judging will be done over camera. So you're not allowed to make any kind of mess. If you make a mess, there'll be deductions.
Got it.
So it's gonna be, you got to eat clean and just eat fast.
This is my big question for you. This is the first time you're doing an Oreo challenge. Obviously, everyone knows you for the hot dogs. You're the hot dog king. It's one of the most. It's the most watched thing on the 4th of July. I can't think of a time where I didn't sit down and watch it with whoever I was with. I've been in four or five different places last 4th of July's, and every time I've sat down and watched you just completely dominate Nathan's hot dog contest. But then we do a little more research into you. Obviously, you have a record list of foods eaten that's longer than my hot dog personally, and we go on YouTube. And any challenge, you're just down to do it. So does it matter, or are you just game for anything?
If you look at my YouTube, I mean, that's all food I like. Almost all those contest food that I hold records in is food I like. I'm kind of picky. You don't see me. It's pretty rare for me to eat a food I don't like. I think I did one contest with a weird food. It was brain tacos, but I only went there because it was like a zombie festival with rock bands, and it was a huge party. But other than that, it has to be a food that I like, and that's what I like to eat, and I like to compete. And over the years, I learned that I like to make people happy. I've learned something for some reason. People enjoy it, and that makes me happy, and I'm going to push myself for the fans and audience.
Oh, totally. I mean, we sit down every time, and we watch you do these things, and I'm just happy. I can't tell you why. I'm just thoroughly enjoying watching you crush this ramen. Now, when I watched the one, you're from San Jose, and you go, it's so casual the way you say it too, man. You're like, yeah, we found this ramen place around the corner. There's a world record. There's a record there. And you sit down, and they tell you that they don't think you can beat it. What goes through your mind? Like, are these people kidding? Do they know who I am? Or do you kind of just go, okay, and then just go for it?
Well, there's a part of me, like, thinks, oh, they might really know that I am pretty good at eating, and they still think I can't eat. They can't eat it. So I never want to get, like, so confident it would suck for me to act like I'm king of shit or I'm the boss and then just absolutely fail. But I love that little bit of uncertainty, like proving to myself and proving to them and I love it when it's good food. Oh my God. It's so great when I do these restaurant challenges or the contest foods and it's great food and it's a surprise great food.
How much are you tasting?
I enjoy it.
How much are you tasting?
I taste a lot. In contests, a taste goes down a little bit because we're it's just there's just so it's like sensory overload with the MC yelling, with the crowd yelling, with the sun coming down. So I mean, you're tasting a little bit less on the day of a contest, but you're still tasting it. If there's a flavor in there you don't like, you're gonna keep hitting it again and again. It's gonna get magnified and it's like a race car driver on a road. If they're driving on a crappy road and they hit some section of the road every lap, they're gonna hit it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And they're aware of it.
Yeah, totally.
And just because they're driving fast doesn't mean it goes away. No, it's gonna get worse. The faster, the more you're, I'm eating fast and I'm hitting that flavor again and again. So if it's a flavor I don't like, that's when I start to slow down quickly.
Yeah, I've got, you know, something popped into my head. A lot of people have seen that the show Man vs. Food with Adam Richman, you know, that's on the Travel Channel. I don't think it's on anymore, but he used to go right to every single restaurant, and if they had a challenge, he would take it down. And I remember I used to watch it growing up, and just watching him, like, as the seasons went on, just kind of the effect that it had on him physically. Talk a little bit about that, and, like, you look like you're in tip-top shape all the time.
Yeah,
every time you're competing.
You look pretty good on camera, man. You look solid.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now I've been working out a little bit during this whole quarantine. So,
nice.
And I've been eating pretty healthy. I haven't been working out as much. I haven't been going to an actual gym. But I've been eating pretty healthy in between challenges and stuff. But it's a battle. During the summer, I have to do a lot of recovery after every practice or every contest. I have to eat super healthy during the week, and towards the end of the summer, I'm gonna gain 20 pounds at least.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't eat healthy after a contest, if I eat carbs or beer during the week, I'll gain weight super fast. And then once I gain weight, I can't control my breathing. When I'm a fat boy, I can't run, I can't control my breathing, and if I end up getting winded during a contest, which would happen if I'm heavy, I'm breathing through my mouth, and when you breathe through your mouth, you're not
you're losing space, right?
Swallow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do anything when you're winded. And there are awesome big boys out there, like big boy eaters, like Badlands Booker.
Yeah.
That man can eat. He can eat for hours, but. And there's like Bob Shout out of Philadelphia. There are some decent eaters that are big boys, but they can't. They're not in good enough shape to do it in that 10 minutes. And mm-hmm. I love them, but it's this weird double edged sword. You have to love to eat, but you also have to be competitive enough to put your desires count your calories and really be healthy enough to and push yourself to this crazy limit.
Mm-hmm. And there's such a competitive spirit in the way you're talking about it. So that brings me my kind of two questions that go together, I guess. The training process, because you obviously have a vigorous training process. We saw the 30 for 30 on you, and we know we've got a glimpse into your training. How much of that is just you solo? Because it's not like, you know, is there a coach involved? Do you have people helping you prep? Because listen, if you're a quarterback for an NFL team, right, or you want to be a quarterback at the NFL level, I could point to on Instagram alone 30 to 40 different quarterback coaches that you can go to, and they're all good. You know, this is kind of, from what we're seeing, at least from the outside in, kind of uncharted territory. Are you making up these schedules, these regimes yourself? How much is it you kind of having to figure it out? Do you have doctors on hand? Like, how does that go about?
Yeah, it's been a lot of trial and error. I run ideas. For a while, I had a nutritionist that I would see pretty regularly, and I'd run ideas off of her. And then my doctor, I really don't – I go into what I'm doing, but she really doesn't give me advice on, like, training. But it's been a lot of trial and error. And the people, my brother, and there's a physical trainer who helps me and come up with some of the jaw and neck exercises. There's no books written about competitive eating or which muscles you have to exercise. When you think about it a little bit, I mean, you realize that we're moving and hot dogs, it's 17 pounds of meat and bun plus another eight pounds of water down in 10 minutes. That's a lot of mass that those little muscles in your throat and esophagus are moving down, and you need to find a way to exercise those muscles. Otherwise, then they're not going to keep up. I mean, in order for them to do that, you have to find a way to exercise them and make them strong. Because normal people, like normal meals, what, maybe 2.5-3 pounds?
Yeah.
And you're eating that over 30 minutes. I'm pushing those muscles a lot harder than the average person, so I need to find a way to exercise
almost to the limit. And there's, you know, and it's not just you, there's a bunch of guys out there doing this. Like, you hold a bunch of records, right? But then there's, you know, Megato that holds records, Kobayashi holds records, there's other guys that specialize in different things, and there's just a way larger, you know, major league eating community than people see. Like, people can kind of look at the hot dogs, and it's gotten bigger as YouTube's kind of grown, obviously, throughout the years. You see people jumping up across the board doing the restaurant challenges, which has been huge. But what's the community like? Like, cause are you guys, like, talking to each other about how you train, how you prepare, or is it kind of nose to the grind, like, this is your competition, you're not going to give them any insight?
We're frenemies.
Keep your friends close, enemies closer.
We all know what each other's going through, but we're not going to share all of our details in training. In fact, like the 30 for 30, that was the most I'd ever shared about my training because we were protective of it. It would be like a quarterback coach, all of a sudden sharing all of his techniques that he's worked for years for. I am my own coach and I've worked for years to develop my own techniques. And, we do keep all of our, I wouldn't say tricks, but just all of our techniques really close to us. And we also understand that, like, there's only a couple people in the world that know what it's like to eat and digest 60 hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And so I respect Kobayashi. I respect these Matt Stoney and Carmen Sincotti. These guys are beasts. And I think we have a deep understanding of they have to really know their body in order to push themselves that hard, and they got my respect, and it's almost a weird brotherhood.
Yeah.
Are you guys ever like hanging out outside of these competitions at all?
No, as a lot of us, I mean, it's like any group of people who have a lot of similar interests. We love eating, we like to drink. And then there's some people who are so competitive they can't bring themselves to do that.
Really?
But there a lot of us we're very, it's almost, sometimes it's like a fraternity. We really just after an event we as soon as we're feeling good enough or still feeling crappy, we're gonna go out later that night and just tear it up.
Yeah, so between the time where you guys go out and tear it up, which is honestly epic, there's nothing that makes me happier now than to think that after I've watched you do all these things, a couple hours later, you're getting tossed and going after at the bar. but in between that time, what's the recovery process like? Because there has
it's more than a couple hours.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, hot dogs are done. Let's go.
Depending on contest, there's a couple cities where we all like to party in. There's like Buffalo, New York, and there's Vegas. And Vegas is great because we can take like an 8-hour nap or sleep and a real recovery time and go back out and like go out at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finally feeling better. Buffalo, they stay open till 4 a.m. So and Buffalo also is also a wing contest. So the recovery period is not as long.
Yeah.
It's a little bit faster, but usually a standard it takes about 7-8 hours if it's a real capacity contest to really start feeling any better.
Mm-hmm.
And even the next day you're going to be feeling like garbage. I go into every contest knowing I'm going to feel like garbage afterwards. And that's part of I'm not going into these contests just to eat or I'm going in there to win. And anybody who has that, if you want to win, you have to be willing to feel like garbage. A boxer, they don't want to get hit in the head, but they know they're probably going to get hit and it's going to hurt and they're not going to feel great afterwards. And I know that I'm going to be bloated and I'm going to be drunk on food and I'm going to be sleeping and I'm going to have to run to the bathroom and I'm going to be thirsty and these are things I know are going to happen and there's no surprises. The only thing that I need to win the contest. That's all for that.
Mm-hmm. Are there fears, like moments, like the moment before, like you guys are lined up and, you know, George Shea or whatever, Shea is about to say, ready, set, go, and like eat. Like, what are the moments like before in your mental? Is it like win, 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 win? Is that like the one word screaming in your head, or are you calm? Is there like a calm storm?
It's great when I have this like intensity, but I also calm.
Yeah.
I love this. And it doesn't happen every time, but it's great when I'm calm and kind of relaxed, but I also have an intensity where I know I'm fast, and it's a word I haven't really, there's no single word that describes like being super like fast and intense while at the same time being really calm.
Yeah,
and
you're just hyper focused, right? You're just like zoned
hyper focused. Yeah. And it's one of those things that you it's super hard to duplicate, and you through practice and through who you surround yourself with, and just your breathing, and that's one of the things that I think breathing is one of the most important things, is doing yoga and staying calm, and mm-hmm. I'm a little bit superstitious, so I like to surround myself with certain people, and I don't like negative energy, or if there's a problem, it's like, all right, there's a problem, but I'm not going to stress about it. I'm not going to get excited. I'm focused and my first thought in the contest is like, I just gotta swallow the first bite and swallow it again. And I can chew and swallow and keep going. And then I'm trying to find a rhythm, and then I take my first breath. A lot of people, they forget to breathe in the beginning of the contest.
Yeah.
And when you forget to breathe, then eventually you're gonna have to breathe, and you're gonna breathe a lot, and you're not gonna be able to keep eating. So I have to chew and swallow, and then I have to sneak in my first breath, and then I get into a rhythm, and then I can just keep going, doing it again, and faster and faster, and then remember all the other little things: stand up straight, use my torso to push down the food. It goes into this rhythm, and it all starts with that first bite and first swallow.
Yeah,
you're talking to yourself, you're coaching yourself, and you're going through the mechanics of how you've trained as you're competing. Right, it's not just like green light, go, shovel it all down.
It's not as simple as just eating.
Right,
there's a lot of little things in order to make. Get that much food in and digest it down. There's a lot of little muscles and things going on.
Yeah, and as much a mental battle as it is a physical battle, it kind of sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And then your body starts giving you these feelings, your jaws are tired, your throat's a little bit tired, or you feel full, and then I have to, it's like, all right, if my jaw feels tired, I have to use my hand to mash whatever I'm eating against my teeth a little bit. Or if my throat's tired, I have to swallow a little bit less at a time. And if I'm feeling full, I know I'm not full because I know what my capacity is. I just have to make my body work for it.
Would you say you have a weakness at all about any of the foods that you try to eat at all? Like, is there any foods that you're saying, no, I'm not going to touch that, because I know that it's not going to go well?
Certain foods are definitely easier for me. If it's a food I like the hot dogs, I naturally like. It was a little bit hard to get used to the wet bun.
Yeah.
So I just had to visualize the wet bun is, it's no longer a bun. It's just a sip of water that looks like a bun.
Yeah.
And I had to relearn that. And every now and then there's a food that like Oreo cookies. It's a food that it just doesn't. It's not easy for me to swallow naturally.
Yeah.
I wish I had more time to practice for it. That contest is coming up fast, so I need to. I just got to muscle through it.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as contests I avoid, like if it's a texture that like I'll eat raw oysters for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put lemon, and I'll put some cocktail sauce and salt on there, and I'll make it tasty. But the texture is still not something I'm really fond of. And I've never done an oyster a raw oyster contest. And because I know it would probably make me nauseous. My stomach would be turning really quickly.
Yeah. And how do you do with spice?
What's that?
How do you deal with spice? I mean, can you handle pretty spicy foods?
Yeah. Spice is one of those things, like, it's one of the few things that I really am careful about. I'll do a jalapeno contest. I'll do a wing contest with hot wings. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do a contest with wings that are like the Carolina Reapers or
like the Atomic Seas. Well,
yeah, those are brutal.
There's stories of, like, if you eat, I'll try Carolina Reaper sauce or wings. But if you eat massive quantities of it, there's stories and real things have happened where people paralyze a part of their intestine. Oof. So I'm a little bit careful about that. I'll eat some spicy stuff, but I do worry about what I'm doing to my body.
It's your profession.
I go to a doctor and I try to do my best to make sure I'm not doing extremely bad damage. Mm-hmm. But I love what I do.
How are you eating in a casual sense? Like, you go to a barbecue, right? Do people, like, you know, kind of force you to, you know, kind of put on a show sometimes? Do you feel the need to? Or, like, what's, like, casual eating like for you now?
I mean, if I'm going to a barbecue, it's usually with people I know, and they're not going to –
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like – what is it, like Derek Zuna or Dance Monkey? Yeah. But people aren't going to do that to me. Every once in a while, like a bar, if somebody recognizes me in a bar, they'll be like, oh, I want to chug beers with you. And that happens every now and then. And that's – people are really happy. And so I'll definitely chug some beers. But normal eating, unless it's a weekend where it's like a cheat weekend, where there's no contest and I've been eating healthy all week, I eat pretty normal. But if I've been eating healthy all week and there's no contest, I'll definitely go to town at that barbecue.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
What's the season?
Yeah,
like?
usually the contest would be starting up right now. So I had one contest in February. It was red beans and rice, and then like six contests got canceled because of this virus. And we're finally getting back and doing it. I'm doing at home contests online, but it's during the summer is usually when it's really busy. Almost every weekend there's an event,
mm-hmm.
I love traveling. I love going to different places. And I love meeting people, but it builds up after a while. I eventually gain weight during the summer, even if I'm trying to eat healthy during the week. But it's something I love.
Now, you get started in 2005, right? And I imagine as a 22-year-old, you know, that's a lot of fun, you know, getting started at that age. Have you always known ever since you were a kid or when you're in high school or in middle school? Like, when did you start realizing, like, oh my God, like, I can take down anything?
When does it go from like a casual Frank at the ballpark to I could eat 70 of these things in 10 minutes?
I always knew I could eat. When you're a kid, I was a little bit chubbier in high school. And then when I got to college, I was like, all right, I'm going to eat healthy during the week. And then, on the weekends that were like my reward days. So in college, I just come home after eating healthy all week and eat everything in my parents' house. And I take my little brother out and we'd go out fast food or we'd go somewhere and eat like crazy people. And he knew, and he was impressed. And I was kind of ashamed at how much I could eat, just because I knew that my mass, like my love for food, it makes it harder for me to be fit. But he signed me up to my first contest, and then I what was it? It was lobster in Reno. And at that time I was 21 and I tied for third, and I was like, oh my God, I found something that like I'm made for. It was like my body was, I've been training for it my entire life.
Did you know, when he signed you up? Also, did you prep for that first contest at all?
No, I didn't prep for that contest at all. But he told me he was signing me up, and he said he was going to sign me up to one contest in New Jersey, and then he signed me up to and then he signed me up to the one in Reno, and that was like a 4-hour drive away, and once I got the spot, they said that I'd get a free hotel room, so that was like the deal. I was like, heck yeah, I'm going. I'm 21 years old. It was at a casino. So it was like, all right, I already got something for free out of doing the contest, and then I got paid to eat. It was like craziness.
That's amazing, man. Yeah, and
it's
you just kind
of aha moment that you're just like, oh my god, light bulb, baby.
This is what you found. And what are some of the most difficult parts of it? Like, I mean, maybe socially, or like in your training, and you can't give enough time to your social life. What's that like as like an athlete in this realm?
It's different for different people. Like, it was, I don't mind. I like the feeling of being full. Like, kind of. It's almost like you feel shitty, but it's like some people like the feeling of being exhausted after a workout. I don't like working out until I'm exhausted. Some people do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel shitty, but I enjoy that kind of. And there's the negative parts. All right, I have to run to the bathroom. All right, I feel like sometimes I feel like I smell like a certain food for a couple of days when I start sweating. Those things suck. But the other things like that suck, like controlling the diet during the week, or fasting before a contest, where I absolutely, if it's a big contest or a big practice, I'm going to cut out solid food for about a day, sometimes a day and a half. And it's like a cleanse. It is a cleanse. And I make sure that I'm absolutely empty for the contest. So, and then during the week, I'm still eating healthy. I'm trying to recover from a contest or practice. And then like come Monday or Tuesday, my girlfriend wants to go out, and I'm like, oh, I got to go to a restaurant. I got to, or try to find a fish and vegetables, or chicken and vegetables, and not eat any bread, and not drink any beer. That part sucks, but everybody has sacrificed, and
totally.
And then as far as hard, like these interviews, I had to learn that, like, oh, if I these sponsors, they want to pay me, but they also want me to perform for them. They want me to be able to talk for them and go out and talk about these events. And so I had to go out of my comfort zone and learn how to just be able to talk to strangers, which was really hard for me. I'm naturally a shy person. But I learned, all right, I love these eating contests. I love to eat. So I learned how to talk to people about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to be a shy person naturally, and then to do something on a stage on a big day of the year, a contest that has been around for since the 70s, and the hot dog can be the king of that, and then be having to perform with all, what's the pressure like? Do you feel like, is there more pressure year in and year out for you for the hot dog contest and for a contest in general?
I try not to say it's pressure. It's more support. It's like, okay, all right, I want to hit a record. I want to get a win. And there's a lot of people out there who want me to do it. They want to see me do it. And it's not like a job. It's encouraging. People are encouraging me. And that's the way I try to look at it. It takes away a lot of the stress. Mm-hmm. And even eating in front of people. When I first started, I was kind of ashamed of how much I could eat. And I would never have imagined eating in front of people and having people yell at me and encourage me to eat more. And now it's something that's like, it's become normal.
I want you to understand, like, I have been a Red Sox fan my entire life, die hard, go to Sox, used to go to Sox Yankees all the time. At Fenway, I would drive up from New York. I don't think I've ever yelled with encouragement harder at a television screen than when you were on. I'm not even blowing smoke up your ass. I'm being dead serious. I've never yelled at the Red Sox, like, come on, like that. Like, I've yelled for you to go for the hot dogs. So I think the point of pressure versus support is a great point. I don't think anyone's ever really phrased it to us like that before. They've kind of just addressed the part of pressure. So that's a very positive
especially
way of
like
at
in
it.
The world of gambling now, too, where, like, everyone's watching and you can gamble on, you know, the over-under on how many hot dogs you eat.
Yeah, I mean, now people are, yeah, sometimes they want me not to eat as much.
Yo, hey, Chestnut, it's Tony Capicola. You mind taking the under for me this weekend? Like, you had a couple texts like that, and you're like, who is this guy?
Now, we see you completed a Big Mac challenge this year in February.
It's 32.
32 Big Macs, and we want to bring up a little story that we have. Josh here actually competed in his own challenge, the McDonald's challenge, 2 Big Macs, 40 McNuggets, 40,
three sodas,
and 2 large fries in under 30 minutes. He couldn't do it.
I lost, man.
He lost. Do you have any advice for Josh on how to prepare next time, or tell him how pathetic he was?
No, it's eating's hard. It's not.
Thank you, Joey. I knew we were boys.
It's one of those things, like if it's like running. Anybody can run a little bit, but not everybody can just all of a sudden run a marathon.
Right.
It'd be crazy to think that. It would probably kill me if I really killed the first person that had run a marathon. And you have to train your body for certain things. Even if you love to run, or even if you love to eat, you're not going to be able to eat 74 hot dogs or a crazy amount of food without building a tolerance. It is a crazy, weird sport takes practice and takes just figuring out your body.
Did you have to do special prep to break the Big Mac record? Like, was there anything you did differently?
Josh wants some pointers here.
Not even just for my own, like, you know, sanity of, like, having to prepare for next month.
I knew that there's certain things I do to make things digest easy. And so I made sure I was standing up, made sure I was drinking warm water during it, and I made sure I ate them as fast as I could, as soon as they came. I didn't want to let them cool down. I didn't even open the boxes before. Like, so it's always easier when food's warm and tasty. So, if you let things cool down and they're just not pleasant. And if they taste good, it's a lot easier. And then it's also easier when you're familiar. Like, I've been kind of getting ready for that contest or the challenge for years and years because I was super familiar with the food. And when you're familiar with the food, your body's it's like a certain type of alcohol. When somebody has, that guy drinks Jack and Coke, and he goes through a ton of them. And if he changes it up to vodka soda, he's gonna look like garbage real quick. Your body learns how to metabolize certain foods, and it feels comfortable. And
it's a great point.
If you're gonna eat a lot of a certain food, you should definitely choose a food that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point you bring up with alcohol. One of my buddies is a sailor. And he could drink 30 beers in a day, but the minute he gets a little whiskey in him, he's toast.
It just changes it. Your body. It's the brain. People think I just abuse my body, but really, I'm amazed at how amazing you can push it, and it can be pushed to do certain when you stress it out. It can do amazing things, and I try to recover from every contest, and I love it.
Yeah, man. We got a couple more questions for you before we let you go prepare.
So, Joe, we usually do a lot of Mount Rushmores for our podcast, Mount Rushmores of athletes, of, you know, basketball players, of our favorite wrestlers. What's your Mount Rushmore of foods? Top 4 foods
that you like to compete with.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Well, there's hot dogs. There's chicken wings, Hooters chicken wings. And, I got to deal with them. They gave me a card. I get never-ending food for them.
You get wings for life?
Yeah, it's
that's an awesome card.
That's a great card.
It says alcohol is not included, but usually they include the alcohol.
Which from this interview seems like an important aspect for you, man, like us.
I can't believe they put that on the card.
I know all that. Well, yeah, I'm not surprised because I've gone to quite a few restaurants and they know how much I can drink.
Yeah.
Awesome. So hot dogs, wings, two more.
One last two, hot dogs, chicken wings. Oh my God, ribs. Ribs are a great food. Yeah. Every now and then, they are absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And it's.
You got a favorite sauce?
I don't know. It depends who's cooking them, but I just like slow cooked ribs, and if they're seasoned. And
if you ever go to Austin, Texas, go to Franklin's Barbecue if you haven't been yet.
Dude, everybody says go to Franklin's Barbecue. I'm not going to wait in a 3-hour line. Jesus.
I feel like you're one of the exceptions.
I hate to be
line.
Like to say, I hate to bring this up, but I think if you go, hey, I'm Joey Chestnut, can I just pop in? I'm like,
guy. I think Obama even had to wait in line. And I go to Salt Lake every time I'm in Austin.
Yeah, Salt Lake's great.
That's our place.
And Salt Lake, oh my, and they keep bringing out plate after plate, and they have.
That is your spot. Yeah, no, I think about it.
Dude, it's even better. You can bring a cooler of beer and just keep drinking beer and keep eating like. And the waitresses are all super nice, and they keep, oh my God, you want some more of this? And yeah, if I had to choose a barbecue spot, that's it. Just
we're all Austin guys. We went to the University of Texas. I've done the wait in Franklin's for a bit. They also let you bring a cooler of beer if that's any kind of, you know, ante to get you up to go there. But Salt Lake is just.
It's experience there at Salt Lake. It's great. Exactly like what you're talking about.
They just roll it out.
You can go with a group of friends, and it's just a really good time.
Yeah.
And, I love that. I think atmosphere, and that's what you go to a restaurant for, is the atmosphere. Of, I mean, the food is also what you go for, but they have food and atmosphere never ending.
You got a beer of choice that you're always bringing with you?
Well, if I'm in Texas, it's gonna be Shiner.
Shiner.
Bottle.
Let's go. Boy, there we go.
All right, round us out with your fourth Mount Rushmore of food.
Tacos. Tacos are a good taco, Alpha Store taco. I've done a bunch of taco eating contests, and
that's amazing. And good at the store.
Yeah, but it's and good ones. They're a little bit greasy, and they go down fast. And it's one of those things that,
if I felt like I was confident in any contest of eating, I think tacos would be my food.
I did the 1 in a million challenge in Austin. I don't know if you've heard of that one, Joey.
I have heard of it. Some awesome breakfast burritos, right?
Or tacos. The food's good. You have to do 8 of those challenges. I'm fairly confident in you. I went and did it. I did 3.5, 4 of those tacos, and I was literally incapacitated for like 48 hours. I was toast. I did it like really early too. Those are big tacos, but the food is amazing. I mean, the tacos in Texas are great.
Yeah, and eggs actually are one of my favorites.
Yeah, we'll put eggs are the best. You have what kind of style you do your eggs?
I have chicken, so I get eggs every day. I'll sometimes scramble, mostly over easy. I actually make a pretty good poached egg.
Nice.
So it's eggs are they're up there on my list.
Awesome, man.
Oh, decent eggs Benedict. Oh
yeah.
Yeah, that's given.
Eggs Benedict's is great.
Little muffin, yeah. We close out with all our guests the same way every time, and we want to know what your favorite sports memory is. It could be of you competing, something you're involved in, or something you've seen on TV, anything, your favorite sports memory, just from your vantage point.
Oh, my God.
Even as a fan.
Even as a fan, it could be anything, man.
I know. I was thinking... I was a kid. I was like 17 years old, and I was at a Texas Rangers game, and they were playing, I think, the Cleveland Indians, and the Cleveland Indians were, it was Cleveland Indians because they had John Rocker and CC Sabathia, and I was a CC Sabathia fan because he grew up in the same city as me.
Yeah.
So CC Sabathia was pitching for the Indians, and the way that the way that stadium's, you're right by the bullpen. You could see people warming up, and John Rocker was warming up to replace CC Sabathia, and people were heckling him, and he just went off on him. It was the best. I've never seen an athlete ever in my life just. You could blow me, and you could do this and that. And it was just like I was like, that's not what your dad said. It was just like an epic, like it was like almost borderline meltdown. But he kept throwing. then he just ran onto the field once it was time to go. It was just like it was the weirdest. He was just angry and just like there was just. As a young adult, you don't see that weird, crazy, raw energy. And
I've never seen a player kind of go back.
That's
so rare.
That's that typical yeah. John Rocker.
And it would be John Rocker.
Yeah.
And it was, as far as live in person sporting, and it wasn't like a crazy home run or a great. I would love to say I was at a game where a pitcher pitched a perfect game. Or extra innings home, grand slam home run or something. But it was just John Rocker acting like a madman.
but that's like also something you really rarely experience. I've seen the other stuff, but I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I've never seen the chaos. In my young days, I've heckled the shit out of people. Like I've gone hard, and they've never responded. So that's a great thing.
I know. It was just crazy. It was like he lived up to everybody expectations.
Yeah, exactly. He's exactly how you thought he was.
Let me put you through a quick hypothetical. If there was a food eating contest where you had to partner up or team up with someone who was a non-professional eater, who would you pick?
If I could go against a non-professional eater,
you have to team up with somebody.
You have to bring him on as your teammate.
Oh, to team up. Oh my God. And they'd have to really want it.
CC Sabathia.
I mean, I feel like another athlete would be a good right.
I'm thinking Kevin Durant because this guy. I've seen him in person, and he has a very short neck, and he has a super long torso. I think he has a longer torso than guys who are even taller than him, and he is. I think that torso, if he really tried, that man could eat probably 100 hot dogs. I think he could train it.
He just got the volume. He has
the potential volume. If he learned how to stretch his torso and those muscles and the core, everything out, and he could make use of every bit of that.
Maybe he'll bail on the Nets and become a competitive eater. I mean, he's done that before with other teams.
Yeah,
right?
Next time we have Kevin Durant on the show, we'll propose the idea.
That's amazing.
We'll let you know.
We're huge KD fans because we all, like we said, we're Longhorns. So I love that answer. It's great.
And also he's a hard worker. I think a super long neck, it's harder because it to be a great eater. So I think he has just a natural build.
Yeah, he's a winner, fiery competitor. Great stuff, Joey, man. Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, we were really curious. You answered all our questions. Can't be more appreciative. We want to wish you the best of luck. Kick some ass for us this afternoon. We're really pulling for you harder than we ever have, man.
Good deal, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Joey.
We said it at the top. Not much more needs to be said. It was a great interview.
Awesome interview. Awesome interview. So much fun. Super thankful that Joey was able to come on before he competed.
Yeah, crazy. I can't believe he did that. Nick was on the show, obviously you guys heard, but he had to go back home to quarantine. And so great having Nick had a good time too. I'm going to speak on his behalf and let everyone know that he enjoyed it as well. And it was a good, really good, great show.
So on behalf of me, Toss, Josh, and also Nick, on Nick's behalf.
Yeah.
I guess we'll sign off,
right? I think that's it. I think the chickens have come to roost. The fans out
go
there.
Go to betonline.ag. Throw some bets down.
Second one of those, yeah, for sure. Yeah. MyPod 100. You could bet on it. You know what a bet I took? I got Isaiah Simmons, real quick, third overall pick at plus 650.
Do you think it's going to happen? You think he's actually going to go third?
I don't know.
It's a good bet.
It was good. It's a good bet. It's worth the bet because I feel like they're torn enough that it could happen. I don't think anyone's trading up there. But, NFL draft's coming up. Super exciting stuff, guys.
It's on Thursday.
Stoked. To the fans out there, drag both feet in bounds, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws, why toss?
Because they free.
Because they free. We outcha. We love you.
Puts it up.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off.
Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.